Boketov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. Today we have a series of small Mishnayot in Perek Gimel, Mishnayot Vav through the beginning of Yod Aleph, which itself is a very large Mishnah, but is broken up into several small pieces, that the chief focus is when there is a particular target group identified as under the ban uttered by the Noder. When he identifies it with a particular colloquial twist, who is included? Hanoder mi orde hayam. So a person says, I am banning Hanoah to all people who go to the sea. Mutar bi yoshve hayabasha. So he's allowed to get Hanoah from people who live on land. Yoshve hayabasha, but if he bans getting Hanoah from anybody who lives on land, asur bi yorde hayam. He's also not allowed to get benefit from those who go to sea. Shir de'ayam b'chal yoshvei ha'yabasha, because after all, people who go to sea also live on land. Now, lo ke'elu sholchim me'ako li'afo, el ha'mishya darko lefares. And we're not referring to those people who go just from Akko to Yafo, and there's a small little sea jaunt, but rather people who really go on long journeys. Now, what is that last part referring to? Machloket. Of papa v'acha b'rei d'ravika. Chad matni aresha. One of them learned that last statement as being a reference to the resha. V'chad matni aseifa. Let's see. Mandatani aresha matni hachi. Here's how you read it. Yorit no demindir de'ayam. Somebody who takes a neder where they won't get benefit from your de'ayam. Mutar b'yoshvei yabasha. He's allowed to get benefit from people who live on land. Habi or de'ayam asur. The people he's not allowed to get benefit from are v'lo ke'ilu she'ochim yako li'afo. It doesn't mean people who go from ako li'afo. Those are people who live on land. They just commute via a short sea voyage. Rather, the people who really do go on long journeys. But the one who learns it is a statement of the Seifa. Here's how he learns. Somebody who takes a neder from all people who live on land. Asur bi yorde hayam is not allowed to get benefit even from those who go to sea. V'lo be'ilu alchim yako li'afi b'vad, not just the people who take small journeys, but essentially live on land, who are included when he said yoshvei yabasha. Halafilu mishadarko l'faris, but even the people who go on long journeys, ho'il v'sofo li'abasha sali, because at the end he's going to come back to land. So everybody eventually comes back to land. All right, next Mishnah. Hanoder mi roei achamav. Somebody takes a ned there. I will not get benefit from people who see the sun. Asur al pesubin. He's really not allowed to get benefit even from blind. So kavenza lemisha achamav raotan. As his intent was really people who the sun sees. My time. Like more asking. Lo kamar min haroin, because he didn't say I'm not getting benefit from the people who see. In which case, a blind person would not be included. So who is he excluding? He's excluding people who the sun never sees. People like those who are not yet born, and fish. Those people who take a neder of Hanoah from those who are of blackened heads or black hair. Now, this is somewhat strange, because we would think that would refer to all people who have black hair. In ancient Babylonian literature, Steinsaltz points out, Shchorei HaRosh was a nickname for men, and we see that the same thing appears here. Asur bekerachin uvalei sevot. You're still not allowed to get benefit from men who are bald or men who have white hair. Umutar benashim uktanim, but he's allowed to get benefit from women and from kids, even if they have black hair. Why she'in nikra'in Shchorei HaRosh el anashim? Because in their language, Shchorei HaRosh is a reference to men. It's almost as if, as in for many people, when you say the word blonde, for instance, you're only referring to women, even though there are as many men as women who are naturally blonde. Now, my time, why is it? Since the guy didn't say, I'm not going to get benefit from people who have hair, therefore, it's not about them having hair, it's about them being called Shchorei HaRosh, which again is a cognomen that is a way of saying men. Umutar b'anashim uktanim, the Mishnah said, she'in nikum shchorei shel b'anashim, my time, anashim zimnin mechasu reishai v'zimnin demgal reishai. Sometimes men cover their hair or uncover their hair. V'anashim le'olam mechasu, the women always cover their hair. Uktanim le'olam megalu, kids always keep their hair uncovered. So kids who always keep their hair uncovered, they're not called shchorei rosh, evidently means those who sometimes cover and sometimes uncover their head. That's what the phrase means. So therefore, women who always keep their hair covered aren't included, and kids who always keep their hair uncovered aren't included. So it's just the men. Important to note, as the Rambam says in Perashat Mishnayot, that all of these things are just reflecting what, at that time and place of the composition of the Mishnah, was the common name, or what that phrase meant to, the common referent. But if in a different place the referent means something else, then that's what the rule of Nedarim will be, because the rule, general rule of Nedarim is Nedarim Hochim Achar Lashon Bnei Adam. Okay, Anoder Min HaYilodim. We assume that Yilodim means people who are already born. Mutar B'Noladim. So if you took a neder from anybody who is Yilod, you're allowed to get benefit from those who are Nolad, meaning that people are not yet born. Anybody born after that statement, you can get Hanar from. Min HaNoladim Asur Min HaYilodim. But if you take a neder from people who are Noladim, then you're not allowed to get benefit from the people who are already born at that moment. That's Chachamim. Remeir matir af b'yilodim. Remeir reads it, and this is the way the Gemara is going to eventually read it, if you took a neder from the noladim, you're mutar b'yilodim, meaning when you said, I don't want to get benefit from those who will be born, the implication is, but the ones who are already born, I'm not including. Chamam say, no, noladim, Yilodim means I don't want to get benefit from anybody who is a born person, whether they're born yet or going to be born. Now, Rav Meir, the Gemara asks, the way that they're reading Rav Meir in the Havamina of the Gemara is that Rav Meir thinks that you are mutar in all of them. If you say mina yilodim, you mutar be yilodim, and certainly mina noladim, which is what you said. If you said mina noladim, Rav Meir is matir af b'yilodim, which means certainly the noladim, which is what you said, plus the yilodim. Aleman asur, so what's your neder worth? Rav Meir should just say the neder is worth nothing. Chasor mechsav achiktani. Really, the Mishnah is missing something, and here's how we should read. Anodim in hayilodim, mutar bin noladim. If you take a neder from the yilodim, the people who are already born, then you're allowed to get benefit from the ones who are not yet born. Min ha-noladim asur b'yilodim. That's the way we read the Mishnah. Ramei omer af ha-noder min ha-noladim mutar b'yilodim, ki echad noder min ha-yilodim mutar b'noladim. Ramei says, just like if someone takes a neder from those who are already born, is mutar, he's like, he can get benefit from the ones who are not yet born. Similarly, if he takes a neder from the ones who are not yet born, he may get hanah from the ones who are already born. Good. Amar Papa Labaye. Lemeimra and the Noladim to meet Yalda Mashma. Here, Papa just simply asks a question on the Mishnah. The Mishnah assumes that Nolad means the ones who are not yet born. Elameata, so take a look at Yaakov's words to Yosef about Menashe and Ephraim. Shnei Vanecha Noladim Lecha Be'eretz Mitzrayim. The two sons who are already born of you in Mitzrayim, I am adopting. Umalatcha, Sholata, Charem Lecha Yu. And the ones who are born afterwards, they will be included in either Ephraim and Menashe. Hachanamit Yaldunhu, that you're going to say those are ones who are not yet born. Velamai, Diyiladu Mashmo. Obviously, it means they're already born. It's a very famous scene at the beginning of Perek Yod Gimel of Malachim Aleph, when Yaravam ben Nevat, the king of the north, has established his southern Mikdash in Beit El, and he himself went up to the altar to bring a korban, and a prophet came from the south, an Isha Elohim, and gave prophecy and said that a son will be born hundreds of years later of David, his name is Yoshiyahu, and he will slaughter all of the Kohanim here in Beit El, etc., etc. Right, and that, of course, comes to fruition in Malachim Bet, around the Perek Chaf Bet, and in that point, there's a reference made to that Nevuah back in Malachim Aleph Yud Gimel. In any case, there it's Nolad, meaning will be born. Hachinami Dahave? You're going to say this is a kid who's already around at this time? Certainly not. Adai Menashe Loba. Certainly, Menashe, who is Yoshiyahu's grandfather, has not been born yet. All right. The answer is that Nolad in Tanakh contextually means what it means, meaning it can mean either thing, and depending on the context will allow us to understand what it is. So in the case of Ephraim Menashe, it means already born. In the case here, it's a prophecy about one who will be born. When it comes to Nedarim, we follow the way that people generally speak, and Nolad, in general speak, means the ones who will be born. Afukim, right? So what did Chacham, so what is he excluding if he says, I'm taking a neder from the Noladim, which is going to include, according to Chachamim, people already born and people not yet born, to exclude ones who are not mammals and who don't reproduce. Lafuke dagim velfot. So fish and fowl are excluded. Okay, anoder mishovtei Shabbat. If somebody takes a neder, that I will not get benefit from those who are rest on Shabbat, as it were. Asur be Yisrael, asur be Kutim. He's not allowed to get benefit from Yisrael or from the Kutim. So a word about the Kutim. At the end of this mission, a word about the Kutim. Me ochlei shum. If he takes a neder from the people, those people who eat garlic. We'll talk about what that is. Asur be Yisrael, asur be Kutim. Again, the same thing. Me olei Yerushalayim. If he takes a neder, I won't get benefit from those who make a pilgrimage to Yerushalayim. Asur be Yisrael, umutar be Kutim. He is allowed to get benefit from the Kutim. Now, who are the Kutim, first of all? Then we'll get to the garlic. In Malachim Bet Perek Yud Zayin, the text tells us that after the northern kingdom was destroyed and the people were exiled, Sanherib, the king of Assyria, did a population transfer, moving citizens from Sfarvayim and from Heva and Hena and from Kuta. Places throughout the Middle East, moved them into Samaria, as he moved the Jews out of Samaria and exiled them throughout his other territory. And the people who came to Samaria, these Kutim, as they are called, did not know how to practice the laws of the God of Israel, the way the text tells it, and they were attacked by lions. God sent lions against them, and they sent a message to Sanherib, saying, we need somebody to tell us what to do. He sent one of the Kohanim, and he instructed them how to be proper Jews, and the way that the rabbis read it, they converted. Question and the machloket that raged throughout the period of the Tanaim was whether their conversion was valid. Are they Gerei Emet or Gerei Arayot? Gerim who recognized the truth, or Gerim who were just scared by the lions? And that meant that their status was sort of iffy. And in practice, up until the Tanaitic period, they maintained many of the mitzvot, and as a matter of fact, were more scrupulous than we when it comes to many of the mitzvot. However, in many other mitzvot, they were totally lax. And therefore, for instance, the ruling is that you cannot say amen to a bracha uttered by a kuti unless you hear all the words to make sure that they're saying it correctly. As opposed to Yisrael, you could say amen even if you only heard part of it. Now, the Kutim, otherwise known as the Samaritans, who a very small group of them continues to live on Har Gerizim, did not revere Har Hamoriah, or Har Tzion, but rather they revered Har Gerizim and continued to do so up in Samaria, and felt that that was the place in their tradition. That's the place where Avraham took Yitzchak for the Akedah, and that's the place that God chose, etc. And therefore, they continue to offer korbanot up on Har Gerizim, the famous that every year they have their Korban Pesach. The Rambam in Perash Mishnayot in Brachot, I noted it on the page, in Perak Chet, Mishnah Chet, notes that the question of the Kutim was settled during the period of the Gemara when they found an idol up on their mountain and realized the whole time that they were idolaters. Since the Tanaitic period, they've been seen as a cult that looks somewhat similar to Judaism, but certainly not considered to be members of Am Yisrael. By the way, they consider us also to be Nochrim. I could just share with you that a number of years ago, I was present at the Korban Pesach and was warned not to get near, not that I really had any interest in doing it, but not to get near or touch any of the animal or the blood, because my presence there as a non-Shomroni would pollute the Korban for them as a Nochri. In any case, the Mishnah rules that if you say, I am taking a neder against getting benefit from Shomrei Shabbat, that includes Kutim. Now, the mention of the Edom garlic was a custom, it was a takana, really, of Ezra, as mentioned in the Gemara Bava Kama, that people should eat garlic on Friday night in order to enhance something as an aphrodisiac. That was something that Kutim also did. However, they did not make Aliyah Yerushalayim, as I mentioned, because they did not revere the sanctity of Yerushalayim. Now, my Shoftei Shabbat, the Gemara asks, Ilema mimakaymei Shabbat, if you mean people who keep a Sabbath, my Yeriba Kutim, why does it mean it only includes Kutim? Afilo of the Kochav Nami. Even pagans also have a day of rest, have a day of Shabbat that they recognize. Ela mimitzuvim al Shabbat. What it means is that when you say mi Shoftei Shabbat, you mean those who are commanded regarding Shabbat. So Yachi Ema Seifa, then look at the end. Mi Ole Yerushalayim Asur Bisra Mutav Kutim. Why aren't Kutim included? Vamai. Vahamet Suvim Ninu. The Kutim, as per the rule of the Mishnah, are Jews, and therefore they're also commanded to make Aliyah LaRegel. The fact that they don't doesn't affect it, because we're interpreting these phrasings in our Mishnah to refer not to practice, but to obligation. So Amar Abaye Mitzuva V'Osek Tani. Abaye says what the Mishnah refers to is those people who are commanded and fulfill. Batarte b'avikamaita, in the first two cases, Yisrael v'kutim mitzuvin v'osin. These are things that Jews and kutim are obligated to do and do. Of the kochavim ahuda avde osin v'enam mitzuvin. If a goy happens to rest on Shabbat, so that's his personal thing, but he's not mitzuva to do so. He's not called shovet Shabbat because he's not in the class of those who are obligated to do so. But Ole Yerushalayim, when it comes to Yerushalayim, Yisrael mitzuvin v'osin, kutim mitzuvin v'enan osim. Kutim, not just incidentally, like somebody who happens to keep Shabbat, a goy happens to keep Shabbat, but rather, as a group and by definition, do not make Aliyah Yerushalayim, as I mentioned. Okay, the next Mishnah, Konam she'eni nehaneh l'vnei Noach. A man says, I'm not going to get any hanah from b'nei Noach, even though technically all people in the world are b'nei Noach. Mutar b'Yisrael v'asur b'avdei kochavim. He's allowed to get benefit from a Jew. Ah, v'Yisrael minafim v'chlab b'nei Noach. Since when are Yisraelim not b'nei Noach? This parenthetically is the subject of an interesting discussion that the Lechem Mishnah undertakes in his book called Derech Pikudecha. About the question of the status of Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, etc., whether they were regarded as B'nai Noach, even Lahakel, Lahachmir, Pachos Mim Sharaprut, etc. It's an interesting discussion. Yisrael Minafik Mikal B'nai Noach, since when are Yisrael not B'nai Noach? The answer is, Kevin de Iktish Avraham Eat Karu Alshmei. Once Avraham was sanctified and selected, they're all called B'nai Avraham and not B'nai Noach. Interesting that we don't get to the referent of Yisrael here to say because we are uniquely children of Yaakov, we're called B'nai Yisrael, but rather B'nai Avraham. Now, She'eni Nehanel Zer Avraham. Let's flip it. Let's say a guy says, I'm not going to have any benefit from the seed of Avraham. Then, Asur B'Yisrael, Mutav Avdei Kochavim. He's only prohibited to get benefit from Israel, even though Avraham sired fathers of non-Jewish nations. Vayika Yishmael, there's Yishmael. The answer is, Kibi Yitzchak Yikarei Lecha Zeraktiv. When Avraham was sorely troubled because he was asked to send Yitzchak Yishmael away, Hashem said to him, don't worry, listen to what Sarah says, Kibi Yitzchak Yikarei Lecha Zara. Yitzchak is the one about whom will be called, he will be the one who is referred to as your child, and not Yishmael. Okay. Vayika Esav, what about Esav? Esav is a child of Yitzchak. He should be considered, children of Esav should be considered, the children of Avraham, the seed of Avraham, and therefore, at the very least, Idumeans should be concluded. The answer is, Bi Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. When Hashem says to Avram in that same pasuk, he says, Ki ve Yitzchak yikare l'chazara, the famous Midrash Chachamim is, Be Yitzchak, meaning some of Yitzchak will be called your Zera, reference to Yaakov, and not all of Yitzchak and Esav is excluded. Okay, the beginning of Mishnah Yud Aleph, the third piece of Mishnah Yud Aleph. The Bnei Noach was the first, the Zera Avraham was the second, and this is the third. These are all tiny little slices of Mishnah Yud Aleph. She'eni nehaneh miYisrael. A person says, I'm not going to get any hanah from Yisrael. So what happens? He has to do commerce. Lokeach biyoter u'mocher b'pachot. He has to pay above market value if he buys something from a Jew. That way he's not getting any benefit from him. And when he sells, he has to sell under market value. Yisrael nehanin li. If he says the opposite, I'm making a netter that no Yisrael can get benefit from me. Lokeach b'pachot u'mocher biyoter. He has to buy low and sell high. Of course, who's going to pay attention to that? Ve'ein shomin lo. But that doesn't mean the other people have to help him out at all and agree to it, and the guy's stuck. There's another gerse in the Mishnah that says isho min lo, meaning if people will agree to do it. And same difference. And then the last one is she'ini nehanel lahen vein li, if he takes a neder in which they can't get it from me or me from them, then yehanel lo v'dikachovim, so you do his business with non-Jews, because any business he does with a Jew, somebody's getting benefit, either he or the other guy, and either way it violates his neder. Now, Amar Shmuel, this is something of a backdoor approach. Halokeach kli min ha'uman. If a guy takes a vessel from an artisan, levakro, and he wants to check it out, in other words, he wants to try it out for a week, see if he likes it, v'nanas biado, and while he was holding on to it, it got destroyed. Something happened, it broke. Chayav. Why is he chayav? Because he has a din of a shoel. Now, what is a shoel? A shoel is the most stringent of the four kinds of shomrim. He has all benefit and no expense because he's not paying a rental. He's the one who initiated the deal. He wanted to borrow the item. And as a result of that, he's chayiv in any possible damage that happens to it, except for one meta machmat malacha. If he borrowed it for a particular purpose, and while fulfilling that purpose, the thing broke or died, then he's exempt. Otherwise, he's chayav in every case. Somebody breaks into his house and takes it. Somebody mugs him and takes the thing away from him. It doesn't matter. He's still chayav. So this guy is considered a shoel, right? Why is he called a shoel? Alma kesavra hanal lokeachi. So he holds that when you buy something from a seller, the essential hana is the buyer's hana. And therefore, since right now you're holding this item and you could decide to buy it or not, therefore, right now you're like a shoel, you're getting all of the hana, and therefore you're chayav ba'onsin. Now, the part that we care about is, that means that in a regular business deal in which something is being sold at market value, we consider the buyer to be the one who's getting the benefit, not the seller. Now, tanan, let's see if that works. Shein enem Yisrael mocher pachot. Our Mishnah said that if you say, I'm not going to get any hana from Yisrael, you have to sell low. Why is that? Well, shove v'shove low, you can't sell at market value. But if we say that in a normal deal, the hana is that of the buyer, then you should be able to sell at market value, and it still will not be considered that you got any benefit. So we answer, Manitin bizvina derami alapay. Our Mishnah must be talking about a case where it's slow-moving merchandise. Merchandise is literally in your face. He has to move it. And therefore, if he can find somebody to buy it, he's really getting benefit. So if he sells it at market value, in a case like that, the seller really does get benefit. So imken emeresha, but if that's the case, that we're talking about stuff that isn't moving, then look at the earlier part of that statement. Lokeach bioter. He has to buy high. Why does he have to buy high to prevent getting benefit from Israel? He should be able to buy even for even, and it's at market value, because if it's slow market, then it's still that the seller is the other one getting the benefit. V'yod ema seifa, look at the seifa here. She Yisrael nenin li, he said in the second cause, that I'm banning Yisrael from getting a benefit from me. What did he have to do? Mocher bioter. He has to sell up. But remember, if he's saying, I don't want Yisrael to get benefit from me, he should be able to sell at even value, and he's still the one getting the benefit, because it's slow-moving merchandise. Bizvina derami alapei, afidu shavu v'shavu. So the answer is seifa bizvina charifa. The seifa of the Mishnah is talking about a case where stuff is selling very quickly. In other words, it's easy to find buyers, and it's hard to find sellers. Demand is outstripping supply. And as a result of that, the buyer is the one getting the benefit, which is awkward because then it means you have to posit a different reality or different circumstance to the ratio than the seifa, which you'd rather not to do. So, yach lokeach b'pachot. But besides that, if you're going to say that in the seifa, it's stuff that's selling like hotcakes, why does he have to buy under price? He should be able to even buy at price. Right, because he's still getting benefit. So Ella, so we have to fix it as follows. Matnitin mizvina mitza. Our Mishnah is talking about a normal case. Things are not selling like hotcakes, but merchandise is moving. And as a result of that, the hana is somewhere in the middle. And therefore, if you sold at market value, you may be getting benefit. And if you bought at market value, you may be getting benefit. Therefore, if you are not going to get hana from anybody else, you have to sell low, and buy high, and then the inverse. Udishmuel, what about Shmuel's case? Bzvina Kharifa. Shmuel's case is talking about a case where stuff is going like hotcakes. Therefore, the lokeach is the pure beneficiary. And therefore, if the guy borrowed the item to see if he really wanted it, then he is considered to be a shoel. Now, Tanya Kavatei Shmuel, we have a braita that supports Shmuel's take on this. Halokeach kelimina tiger. If somebody takes vessels from a salesman, lishagiran milaveit chamiv, he takes them in order to send to his father-in-law's house. V'yamarlo, and here's the deal. If they accept this gift from me, then I'll pay you for it. And if not, then I will give you based on the tovatana'a, meaning I will give you I'll return the items to you, and I'll pay you a little bit for the fact that I got to show them that I was a nice guy and that I wanted to do them a favor. So yeah, tovatana'a. Now, nensu ba'alicha, what's the halacha in that case? If the thing got busted while you were taking it to your father-in-law's house, then chayav, right? Of course, you're a shoel. B'chazora pater, but if there were nenas on the way back, then you're pater. Why? Because neshu konosei sachar. At that point, you are like a socher, like a renter. Because after all, right now, you're bringing the item back, you're watching it, you're not getting any benefit out of it, and you are going to pay the guy for the short amount of time that you're able to hold on to it. All right, so that supports Shmuel. Now, here's a case which seems to contradict it. Hahu safsira. A safsira is a like a sarsur, a middleman. Tashaka chamra lizvune velo izban. He took a donkey to sell it, and he couldn't sell it. Bahadi dahadar inis chamra. On his way back to the guy he was selling it for, the donkey got killed. Something happened. There was some sort of onus. Chive Rav Nachman l'shlumi. Rav Nachman said, you got to pay him. So Rav turned to Rav Nachman and said, Rebbe, I don't get it. We learned halacha nensu b'halicha chayav chazara patur. We just learned halacha that if you sent these kelim to your father-in-law's house, and it turned out they didn't want them, on the way to the father-in-law's house, something happened, you're chayav, but on the way back, you're patur. Here, the guy's on his way back with the donkey, and the thing got damaged, it should be his patur. Right, so he answered, Amar Lei, so Nachman said, Chazara de Safsare Halachahi. When the Safsar is walking back, the middleman is walking back with the donkey, that's still like Halacha. Why? To Ilu Mishkach Lizvuni Afilo Bava de Beite, even if he found somebody at his own door to sell the donkey to, Milo Mazvine, wouldn't he sell it to him? In other words, in the index case about the Tiger, when he sent it to his father-in-law's house, there was only one person he cared about being interested in this gift, and that was his father-in-law. If his father-in-law wants it, he's happy, he'll pay for it. If not, he's going to take it back. But here, this fellow's looking for a buyer for the donkey. If the one who he took it to, he thought would be interested, didn't want it, and he comes back and finds somebody else, then that's fine, which means the whole time, he's still playing the role of Safsir. He's not really returning it. He's still walking around looking for a buyer. He's just walking in that direction. And of course, if he doesn't find a buyer, by the time he gets there, he'll return it. And therefore, it's like always like holacha. And therefore, this continues to support Shmuel. Tov, in Yirat Hashem, in the next podcast, we will study this next, the rest of Mishnah Yud Aleph, the end of the Perek, which is somewhat agadic. And it will take us to the end of the Perek on Daf Lamud Bet, Amud Bet. Everyone should have a wonderful day.